Some numbers now to ponder on this Monday holiday. 32.7 million. That's the estimated number of drivers on the road this Labor Day weekend, according to the American Automobile Association. It's down from last year. Now, 13.5. That's the percentage of American workers represented by labor unions. And that figure has been steadily going down, says the Department of Labor. And finally, 4. A reassuring, steady number. That's how many people there are in the humor-prone ensemble, the Firesign Theater.
On this Labor Day weekend, we thought it would be a lot of fun to interview a few unusually hard-working members of the UWA, the Unwanted Workers of America.
Now that's right, Ricky. These are citizens who've created jobs for the 21st century that are as yet not recognized. For instance, sir,
Yes. This
is Mr. Argon Dunce.
Yes, I'm a couch miner. I make a living kind of finding coins wherever I can, in furniture and sidewalks, and, you know, under cars sometimes, and sometimes at the bottom of this cup I hold when I'm taking a breather.
Oh, yeah, you look very familiar. I've passed you by many times.
I've seen you.
Oh, okay, ma'am?
Me?
Yes, what is your specialty?
Well, I find lost weight. You know, it has to go somewhere.
Well, and have you found a lot?
No, not really, but everyone around me sure seems to.
Well,
sure.
There you go. And you, sir, what is it you do?
I'm Larry Lark, and I identify UFOs.
Wow. For example?
A, swamp gas from the moon.
Sure.
B, pie plates or frisbees, often with dog attached.
Mm-hmm.
And C, these are the most frequent, flying saucers.
Oh.
I see one now.
No, this is my microphone pop filter. Keeps me from popping peas.
You wish.
Well, Ricky, we're running out of time, both figuratively and culturally, so let's just go around the table, starting with the overweight man with a bad toupee. What's your specialty?
Well, you know, at a fancy restaurant, when you order a half bottle of wine, I'm the guy who drinks the other half.
Next.
Well, you know the expression, gum up the works?
Mm-hmm.
I chew the gum.
And finally?
Me, I'm a couch salter. I leave coins and furniture and on the street for couch miners to find.
Well, in that case, let me introduce you to Mr. Dunce.
Hi.
Oh, hello there.
And you could just empty out your pockets and take the rest of the day off like the rest of us. Happy on Labor Day.
Hey, that's my wallet.
Spaceships are smaller than string and living in your brain.
The worldwide conspiracy has discovered there is an even bigger conspiracy.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Everything you know is wrong.
Hello and never goodbye, and don't look behind you, but it's me, Dr. Happy Harry Cox, and I'm with you again to look at the arcane wonders of our wonderful world. Do you remember a certain phrase from your past? Just a little thing, but it's stayed with you, hasn't it?
Shoes for industry, shoes for the dead.
Shoes for industry, shoes for the dead.
Shoes for industry, shoes for the dead. What could that mean? Well, I've got the story, up to date and everything. Listen, I called up Dr. Poing Hodung, professor of advanced footwear at the University of a Million Freshmen in Beijing.
The words shoes for industry, shoes for the dead were first uttered, so far as we know, by the Dutch surrealist plumber Anton Squeegee to describe his own shoes and, of course, his own death. Huh? But I think he knew more than he let on.
No kidding.
Oh, we are not allowed to kid. By the way, are you wearing shoes now?
Yes, of course.
Are they talking to each other?
I don't know. They're speaking Chinese. A Dutch surrealist? Had he stumbled onto something? Shoes stumbling? Ooh, there was beginning to be a connection. This was big. Shoes the unseen watchers. If it was true, what were we to do about it? Well, I asked law enforcement expert and retired General Curtis Goathart, "Sir, what are our options?"
Harry, mankind will just have to do what the military has always done with its shoes. Shine them back to the Stone Age.
Well, all very well, General, but most of us wear cloth shoes made by Koreans who sleep under their sewing machines. It's hard to shine a swoosh.
Son, faint heart never shined fair shoes, as we used to say back at Battalion HQ. By the way, have you seen the chip they've inserted up my...
By the time I opened up my email and cleaned the Diamondbacks out of my mailbox, the correspondence was overwhelming. From all over the world, the voices of fear.
The shoes are alive.
They're watching us.
Was a man ever buried without his shoes?
They come in twos.
They always come together.
A single shoe is a powerless shoe.
His shoes do not sleep.
They stand there.
And they do not sleep.
They do not sleep. Could be a worldwide conspiracy of shoes, and you don't even know which one you put on first, because
everything you know is wrong.
Wrong.
This is Hal Stark, prisoner of the 21st century. It's the Labor Day weekend. Labor Day, a celebration of work when no one is supposed to be working. So why am I sitting here in traffic, sweating my butt off, trying to get out of town? Feels like work to me, but I'm not getting paid for it. I guess I suffered a rolling blackout, but 6 hours and 12 miles later, I had a vague recollection of pulling into the high fire danger Grizzly Bear Malthus State Park Recreation Center, where after having my eyeballs scanned and my car dismantled, I was allowed at last to pull into camping space Minnehonka, where I was to spend the next 3 hours unpacking my gear. I had purchased some special equipment for this idyllic getaway from the Happy Hiker's Hut, which included heavy-duty, ultralight mesh Dunkin' stuff bags filled with fundamentals like dehydrated jerky clods, blowfish dromedary hydration packs and water bombs, perforated groundhog steaks, sand anchors, mosquito coils with blister kits and itch erasers, bar maps and rack straps, bison mess-around collapsible nonstick travel bowls, portable fanny lights, padded cells, and cat crap anti-fog road toad wide-mouth chain cleaners. It took me another 3 hours to set up my bear-proof, flame-retardant, multi-coated, storm-shielded, waterproof, urethane, shock-cored aluminum frame, factory-sealed, freestanding, low-venting, full-length fly vestibule with breathable nylon roof cloth, windows with no-see-em netting, and a bathroom floor. But it fell down. Luckily, I was inside at the time, so I made an air pocket, rolled over, and slept like a mummy. You see, I knew I'd have to rise before dawn so I could pack everything up, get back on the road, and make it home in time for work on Monday. This is Hal Stark, prisoner of the 21st century. Happy Labor Day.
America, hit the sunny side of Easy Street in the multitasking Pinata Transformer.
It's a buffed-out high school RV party van that falls apart at the touch of a bumper.
Total it, and the parts reassemble into the sports vehicle of your extreme dream.
Whoa. It's transformed into a Sherpa-sucking Tom Cruise and South Face glacier-grabbing awesome avalanche and snow sniper. Hit the slopes, stuff the dunes!
Holy Harley! It's a cherried-out, bald-wheeling, cliff-hanging, desert-eating, fully camouflaged bushbuster. I'm freaking weekending out of here!
Sweet dude. Now it's a so-wicked surf-slapping, lap-dancing, margarita-swiffing, jet-juiced, whitewater wave wanker. Aloha, water whale!
The Pinata Transformer Fiesta Package with bushbuster, snow sniper, and wave wanker.
The American Family Fun Fun Van.
Today's Transformer rated PG-13 for language and violence. See it tomorrow at Andy Chrysler's Ziggurat of Transportation in Billville's Roadkill Automart.
The Firesign Theater comprises equal parts Phil Austin, Peter Bergman, David Osman, and Phil Proctor. Their latest CD is The Bride of Firesign. For more about the Firesign Theater, visit npr.org.